All right. Pretty good morning so far. You guys are focused, and I thought our preparation yesterday was good. If I had to evaluate it, it was a better Wednesday practice this week than last week, and I thought, generally speaking, preparation last week was good. So some of these young guys are learning how to practice, which is very important. This is a game that you have to practice, and regardless of whether you're in pads or not, it's important that you get a lot done, and I think our guys are truly starting to understand that. So with that being said, I'll take your questions.
All right.
We didn't ask you much about the Bengals. What do you see in that team? I'm sure they're better than what they showed on Monday.
Yeah, I think it's important, first off, that you don't overreact to what happens in the first game of the season. They put out a team where they had a lot of new players. And, both of us lost. So that's the reality of it. I've been very impressed with Marvin's team competing against them last year. As you know, we were ahead, and we didn't find a way to stay ahead. They came back and beat us in the end. So that's something we got to work on. But watching the tape, you still see some of the same things you saw last year from a defensive standpoint. They're willing to pressure. They don't mind pressuring. They're big, they're physical, and they do a good job of covering. And so that challenges the offense. And then on offense, of course, Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Gresham. I think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis has filled in pretty seamlessly as a running back for them. He had close to 100 yards. I know they're working in some young offensive and new offensive linemen, but we can say the same about our team. And so I'm very impressed with them. I think they do a good job. The way they play offense and defense fits for them, and they do a good job on special teams.
You mentioned Gresham. What makes him such a tough matchup?
Well, his size. He's a big basketball player looking guy. You can put the ball around him sometimes, and he's covered, and he can make a play. And I think that's important for a tight end, because there's times when you just can't get separation and the ball goes up, and usually taller guys have longer arms than shorter guys who have shorter arms. I think that's pretty natural.
You think your young linebackers give you a better chance to cover tight ends this year?
Well, I don't know. I think that they some of our younger guys run extremely well, and the matchup's important. When you throw the ball to the tight end, a lot of times he's part of the inside part of the route combinations, and we got to get pressure on the quarterback as well to help speed that up or distract that throw.
Speaking of long arms, what's going on with Jordan Cameron right now?
Is he still not back from the things that kept him out of practice, or is it
no? He's perfectly. What do you mean? Out? What's going on? He's out there playing.
I mean, in the game, he didn't look like he was in the game at all, hardly.
Yeah, he was in there.
Well, I know that. But what I mean is, there was a throw to him.
There's no conspiracy theory there. He's working through it. He was part of an offense that didn't perform very well last weekend. That's all. I like the progress he's made.
Can you talk a little bit about Geno Atkins? Just like continue to get pressure from the middle.
Yeah. He's a tough match because he can pass rush and get pressure from the inside of the defense. And I've always felt that when the quarterback has pressure in his face, that's as disruptive as pressure up the field. And they do a good. He does an outstanding job. He's a top flight defensive tackle for sure. Right. What was that? Marty's friend's calling. It's all right. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Division
opponents, sure.
Been a struggle here for years. I mean, the importance of that.
No, you have to. I mean, it's very important. Yeah, the initial goal is to win your division, because that assures you a spot in the playoffs. That's what you talk about. And you want to become first one of the 12. And you have to win division games. We understand how important it is. And this is an opportunity for us to play a division opponent on the road, and you have to win road games. And so it's a great challenge for our guys. They understand how important it is, and we got to get it done. Got to get it done.
Pat, back to the tight ends.
Alex, oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, you're good.
No, go ahead.
We'll come back over there. That's fine. So, go ahead. We got the tight ends going here. Let's do it.
Alex Smith. You know, we know that you're so strong in being able to get it blocked.
Right.
You H-back him once in a while. Is there a feasibility that you could use him more in that traditional lead back role where he almost gets more reps and more snaps? And could that, I mean, help really put a jolt into your run game because of his skills?
Yeah. As you know, last year, in fact, I handed it to him once. We remember that, right?
Huh?
No, no, really. And we've practiced that numerous times since then. So if it ever happens, don't be surprised, all right? See? I told you I was a fun guy. No, he plays, he can play in the backfield. And in fact, last year he did play fullback for us. And typically when you have two tight ends in the game with two receivers, there's times when he plays on the line of scrimmage, he plays in the backfield. So, he would be, if something happened to Owen and we wanted to run two back stuff, he would be that guy anyways. So, yeah, I think there's a place for that.
Place of Trent Richardson's day.
Yeah.
One key play in the game the other day was he ran for 9 yards and ran over the safety. But the very next play, it was kind of a momentum shift. Andy Reid wound up jumping up and down after Richardson was stopped for a yard loss. What happened? What could, if you remember what that happened? Play,
Andy
what
jumping
happened
up
on
and
that
down?
Play
starting loss? I don't follow. So Richardson knocked the guy out.
Play is my question to you. There's a reason I'm
when Trent knocked the guy's helmet off?
No, the next play. What happened? The next play was a key play.
It was second one, and I ran the ball to try to get the first, and we got penetration. They got penetration, which you can't happen. We didn't block it right.
Who's we?
The linemen out there. I mean, I can go back, and I'll take you through it if you want, but
yeah,
I don't know what you're – It was a bad play, right? You don't ever want minus yardage plays. And it was second and one. Trent had just made a nice run. It went to third and one, right? Then I think we had to run a third and one play. So we lost yardage on that play. That's all I can tell you. And you can't get penetration when you run the football. And that's...
There's nothing there for Richardson. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. And we got penetration, and we got had a minus play. That's what we had.
Game to the second game.
I believe that.
With him especially, because he did not play at all in the preseason.
Yeah.
Is that more true maybe for him? Do you expect him to make maybe a big jump or at least have that potential?
Oh, I think so. I've seen him. I saw him yesterday practice better than he did the week. And I think if you see it in practice, that's the best opportunity to have it show up in the games. And so I anticipate that he'll have a better performance for sure. Let's go to the back. I just want to make sure I don't miss your question.
We moved on a little bit. It was just a follow-up on Cameron.
Yeah.
You mentioned he needed to work on some of the intangibles, the less obvious things, like blocking and some of the other plays that tiny. But do you see him making big strides in those areas?
Oh, I do. I think he's one of those guys from a year ago that's made some of the – he's improved the most, let's say. He's one of those guys. And I still think there's a huge upside for him as he gets to play more and more and more. And it's just like I mentioned at the outset, it's important that you practice. The more you play this game and the more everything looks like it's a review to you, the better you get. And I think that's kind of where he's at right now.
How did Mitchell Schwartz come through his first game after you watched the tape and everything? Obviously, there was much made about his – he was one of those rookies making their debut in a very important spot.
I thought he battled pretty well. I think there was a couple of run plays in there. I think he'd done a little better job, which would have helped us. But I thought for the most part he battled. He played. What I will say is he played better against Philadelphia than he did in the preseason matchup. So that's kind of where, I would say. Now, of course, everybody on offense needs to play better for us to win the games that we want to win. And I think I have a hard time, you know, passing out bouquets when, you know, you don't win. So that's kind of where we're at.
How much smoother are things for you this year than last because you have a good grasp of what you have talent-wise for the most part?
Well, it's smoother for me because I know the players. And I thought last year I had an outstanding coaching staff. I feel like it even got better with the three guys that I added. And so it's easier for me to move around the building and get involved in coachable moments on offense, defense, and special teams, where I couldn't last year. So from my standpoint, it operates smoother. You know, and it's just like I was talking to the coordinators yesterday, and I think you're going to visit with them here. Hey, I trust those guys. I trust them, and that's part of my nature. And so I like to watch them do their work, but then I'm also somewhat hands-on, so I like to chime in. And so it's better.
Sorry, you seem to be more vocal during practices than you were last year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so because I know the players better. And, you know, some guys respond to a couple of quiet words in the corner. Some guys respond better when they hear it with a loud voice. You know, I don't know. I just feel like because I know the players better, I know how they'll respond, you know, and because I have a full staff of guys coaching, it allows me to kind of chime in where need be.
If I could follow up along those lines, then, do you feel like are you growing in confidence as a head coach?
Well, I think the more you do things, the more confident you become. We start winning games; that would help, you know. But I do see the progress behind the scenes, and then it becomes quantifiable when you win. I get that. And that's what we're pushing for.
And you touched on Frost Tucker a little bit yesterday.
Yep.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what he's brought to you on the field and in the locker room so far?
Yeah, he's got a veteran presence to him that's obvious. He's not an extremely old player, but, you know, he's a veteran compared to our, 25 other guys, you know? So, no, I think there's a quiet confidence there. He plays extremely hard. And when we went through the free agent process, I got to know him pretty well right at the beginning. You know, it's like the old days in college. It's like recruiting. You know, you take him to dinner, you try to convince him to come here, and, you know, you buy his dinner and all that. You know, it's just like college, you know? And so I got to know him during that process, and I think he's done a good job playing. Scott looked good. Yeah, Scott looked good. And I was in the weight room early this morning with him. He's an early morning guy. And, I asked him how he felt, and he said he felt good, and I could tell he wasn't lying.
Is there any hesitance to put him back in the lineup if he might get suspended, in fact, next week or, you know, there's suspension back on?
This is a all-hands-on-deck time of year. And we know the rosters change week to week, you know, so you put him out there. Let him play.
A couple more questions. I know you obviously watched the tape since you're playing Cincinnati. Joe Flacco question. I know you're not playing him, but
sure, I watched him.
Just your thoughts on his performance, and is do you see his arc starting to go up in his career? Obviously, he's running a different no huddle offense this year. Just your thoughts on him.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with Joe. You know, he's a tough guy, and you know, you value or you evaluate a quarterback based on him leading his team to victories. And he's won a lot of games as a quarterback. But I thought he did a good job. You know, they did it in the no huddle, obviously. But I saw a lot of plays that they would have run if they called the plays in the huddle. And so he was grooving. I mean, he was making some good plays and making some good throws. And I think their offense, you know, and that's why I think you can't overreact to the score as it relates to Cincinnati, because Baltimore was on, and they were having one of those nights that we all know they're very talented, but they were also having one of those nights where it was working real well for them.
Can he take that next step? To be an elite quarterback?
Well, I thought he always was, you know, and again, I'm not listen, I'm not out there predicting scores and records, and I'm not out there ranking quarterbacks. In my mind, he's always been a top-flight guy. And so, like most top-flight guys, as they play longer and more, they get better. So, maybe that's a yes to your question.
Pat, when you look at Cincinnati offense, I mean, is it truly a West Coast offense? Or what's the difference between your version and what Jay Gruden does?
I think, yeah, when you talk about a West Coast system, you know, we all have two back plays, one back plays, two tight end plays. It's the basis of the terminology and what you tell the quarterback. I see very similar concepts that they run. And then you got to look at your roster, and you got to play the guys that fit what your roster is shaped up like. And yeah, I see it as a West Coast concept offense. I see principles that I recognize.
Guys were chasing Michael Vick all over the field and doing a nice job with the pass rush, but it's tough with a guy like that to, you know, get a lot of sacks and finish plays. And he was talking about how important it would be to finish in those situations. Now,
right.
You have quarterbacks that are less mobile than Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody is. Is that going to be made, you know, a little bit easier for you guys to complete plays defensively in terms of sacks when you get less mobile quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, each offense that you face, they have ways to protect their quarterback from being sacked, you know, whether it be three-step drops, put them in the shotgun, heavy play action where you block seven or eight, you know, and I think you see all those principles from the Bengals, you know, and so it's a different challenge each week depending on the quarterback and the way they run their systems, you know. As we know, Philadelphia is wide open. There's a lot of open edges. And if you don't keep the proper rush lanes, then Vic's on the perimeter, and there's a lot of big plays to be made. Now that the coverage doesn't recognize the routes anymore because everybody's in scramble mode, and you know, or he can take off and run. With bigger, less mobile quarterbacks, sometimes they get more done from the pocket quicker. You know, so it's every team's different.
Mm-hmm. You got an experienced quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how do you, I guess, deal with what you kind of have a feel is going to be coming?
Yeah, no, I think it would. I would anticipate they will bring pressure. You know, I think that's in the defensive coordinator's handbook. You know, when they get together in the winter and they talk about how they do things, when you have a young quarterback, you pressure him. So that's just part of what they do. So I think that'll happen. So what we do is we block them. We have different ways to block the pressures. We have quick throws. You know, we have audibles. We have, you know, all ways to combat what happens. You know, but we got to execute.
You know, basically last week could have helped you a little more or something.
No, we had quick. We were throwing the ball quickly all over the time, all over the place. That was the focus. You know, we didn't hit on enough of them. That's all.
Ray Malaludo said of Richardson, I didn't see anything spectacular there in his first game. And do you use something like that? Do you tack it up in his locker and circle it or anything like that?
I don't. I don't worry about all that. I don't listen to it, quite frankly. That's a follow-up for Ray, I'm sure. I mean, you can ask him. That's a follow-up for Trent, you know. Who, me? I didn't bring it up. That's... All right.
Thanks, guys. We'll update that momentarily.